From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. If you've been listening earlier this week, you'll know that our subject this week is the preeminence of Christ in creation. That's the theme of our study, and we are trying to let the Bible speak with great clarity and simplicity upon it, because it is one of the most important passages, Colossians 1:15 through 17, on the subject anywhere in Scripture. I trust that you've learned and been blessed as we have looked already at this passage, and I trust that the Lord will do more as we open up His Word in just a few minutes' time. Before we do so, however, we turn for today's daily devotional to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 20, on the subject, Faithful Unto Death. In Ezekiel 14:20, we read, Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. This verse teaches that God has special instruments. These are notably righteous men, men of prayer. Spiritual power and holiness of life go hand in hand. Uncleanness of life is the enemy of power with God. We must never get away from the timeless counsel, Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Further, the blessing is with God and not in the greatest of men. In the communication quoted above, Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish saint and preacher, tellingly made the point, It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. We have made so much of the talent, and sometimes of the instrument, that the Lord has not received the glory, yet it's His will that no flesh should glory in His presence. The saints of biblical times have the honor of antiquity, but men cannot actively extend their influence beyond their own lifetime. Even the mooted intercession of the two now dead, as Ezekiel writes, has no special merit in heaven. The words of our text encouraged Ezekiel. A man of God in his fainting fits is likely to be assailed with the thought that God's special instruments could have done more had they been in his situation. What more could I have done with God's vineyard, he might have asked. The prophet faced exceedingly discouraging setbacks as he prayed and labored. Then he discovered that, were it possible for Noah, Daniel, and Job to come and dwell in the city, conditions there would be no more hopeful because of their presence. Other fields might have been more fruitful for Ezekiel, but God had put him in the place where he labored to stand as a faithful watchman. So, believer, stay where God has put you. Be there as long as God wants you to remain. Our thought for the day comes from John Newton. I feel like a man who has no money in his pocket, but is allowed to draw for all he wants upon one infinitely rich. I am, therefore, at once both a beggar and a rich man.
On our way, what we do is good news.
Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart. So get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Continuing with our studies in Colossians chapter 1 on the subject of the preeminence of Christ in creation and in redemption, you will remember that we are establishing the great proposition that the preeminent glory and greatness of Christ's work as Redeemer rests entirely upon the preeminent glory and greatness of his person and work as the divine Creator. Looking at his preeminence in creation, we have seen that he is essentially and eternally God, that he's of a different rank of being than all created things, and he is their Lord, that he's the Creator of all the universe. Now we go a little further, and we show that he is the goal of all creation, and he is the orderer or upholder of all creation, as we find in verses 16 and 17 of Colossians 1, we read, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That's the text. So let's turn again to Colossians chapter 1. But then verse 16, he's the Creator of the whole universe. It says, by him were all things created. The Greek text says, in him. Now, that doesn't mean to say our translation is wrong. The word in very often has the idea of an instrument. He's the instrument of creation. By him were all things created. Our translation is perfectly accurate there. He is the Creator. But yet the literal force of the word in has a wonderful significance. It says all the creative will and energy that brought this universe into existence resides in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want you to see what Paul's doing here. This church is being attacked by false doctrine. Instead of just getting into controversy, which at times you have to do, he's building up this wonderful vision of truth. He's saying, brethren, this is our faith. This is our gospel. This is Christianity. And it's centered in the person of Christ. He is truly God. He is of a different rank of being than all creatures. They are his creatures. He is their Creator. Not only because by him they were created, but all the creative energy and will necessary to bring them about reside in him. The Church of England Bishop Ellicott, if I could adapt his words rather slightly, he said, the act of creation rests in him and depends on him for its completion and realization. And this is true of all creation. Notice what Paul says. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now this gives you an insight into the invisible world of created spirits. These are not emanations from God. They're not mediators between God and man, but they're the created spirits of the angelic world whom our Savior created. Thrones. Lordships, as the word dominions would literally be. Principalities or governments. And authorities. Now, whether they are different ranks of angels, as many believe, and I think it's quite possibly so. Paul doesn't get into that detail. He's not here to satisfy our curiosity about the angelic world. He's simply saying there is an angelic world out there. I don't want to get off on a track that'll take me nowhere. This is mere speculation. But it maybe help you. Christians get worried when these NASA scientists send their
probes up, and they come back and they say, we are getting some sort of signals of energy. There is intelligent life out there. So, and they get all worried. Maybe the Bible's wrong. Man, go and give yourself a good look in the mirror, a slap in the face, a bit of cold water, a good dose of common sense. Neither NASA nor a thousand NASAs will ever prove the Bible wrong in one single syllable. Why would it surprise you to know that there's intelligence outside of this world of ours? The Bible's been saying that all along. Daniel learned a little about angelic powers and the role they play in the affairs of this world. It's not to say that men are not responsible agents for what they do, but there is a mighty world there that we do not see. And what Paul is saying is this: brethren, remember, whether they are thrones or lordships, whether they are principalities or authorities, whether they are good angels or evil angels, Christ is over them all. He's over them all. To give the words their literal force, they stand created. The tense of the verb would yield that sense. All things stand created through Him. So He's the preserver of all that He created. This is Christ's preeminence. Not only that, He's the goal of this creation. Unto Him at the end of verse 16 we read, are all these things. They were created by Him and for Him, or unto Him. What's the purpose of this world? It's for Christ. What's the purpose of this universe? It's for Christ. That's its purpose. I remember years ago being part of a protest at Canterbury Cathedral, where they were having a Roman massing, idolatrous betrayal of the Protestant Reformation, and being good Protestants, we were there to protest against the sellout of the gospel to Roman apostasy. And as we were there, some little upstarts from the local grammar school, who had more lip than wit, came by. And they were not angry at us protesting the apostasy of the Church of England. They were so, I remember one little upstart particularly, he was so mocking that grown men would even believe in God. Why? Because this world is so small. Somebody had taught him about the vastness of the universe. It's so vast, and it's going on and on, so vast. You know, he was picking up on a theological, or should I say, an objection to theology from some rank apostate philosophers, that the very vastness of the universe says God could never create all this for the purpose of saving this world. It's overkill. Why would He create billions of stars to do a work on this tiny little speck of dust in the middle of nowhere on the outer fringes of the universe? Why would He do it? Well, if you put it that way, either there is no God or God's mad. That's what they want you to believe. But they're the mad ones. You see, God never said, I created this whole universe for the sake of man. Oh, He has a wonderful eternity for man. Of all His creatures, man is the crown. Remember, it's not the angels are the crown. It's man is the crown of God's creation. The greatest provision that God has made or will make is for man. But what's the reason for that? Why did God create all this universe? Why is it so vast? Why is it so wonderful? I'll tell you why. It's because it is for His Son. He's the goal of the whole creation, and it will be for His glory unto all eternity. Furthermore, He's the orderer and the upholder of all this creation. Verse 17 says, He is before all things, and by Him or in Him all things consist. The word consist means they hold together. Let me quote another. I'm quoting Anglicans this morning, or English Episcopalians. J.B. Lightfoot said, and it's a beautiful statement, He is the principle of cohesion in the universe. Listen to this. He impresses upon creation that unity and solidarity which makes it a cosmos instead of a chaos. Now here you would need the scientists to come up. With a developing knowledge, or should I say, maybe a more informed speculation as to the very nature of matter. Scientists have told us that really, whereas the ancients thought of everything being so static, everything was just created and stuck there, the way you would get a postage stamp and stick it on, that's it, stuck there. Even the stars were 1,054, if my memory is right, 1,054 fixed stars. They were stuck there like little stamps on the heaven. That was the notion, you know, among many, of, not among, in the scripture, mind you, the scripture actually said something very different. But it's wonderful how blind people can be, blinded by the knowledge of their day when they come to the Bible. But we have learned that we live in the midst of constant motion. Everything is flying around, as it were. Seems solid enough, doesn't it? Yet every particle is in constant motion. The earth is spinning. It's moving through space. Every other body in space, from the tiniest to the greatest, is a mass of motion. What holds it all together? Don't talk about the laws. Laws are only the imposition of a will. That's all. What holds it all together? What stops this universe from being one vast chaos? What makes the investigation of any scientist, even the one who most denies God, what makes it even possible? It is our Savior.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry,
We'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here and Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.